There's an expression that we're all familiar with that says, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And what this expression, of course, means is that once a person reaches a certain age or stage in life, it becomes difficult to teach them new things. The expression reminds me that people, in a lot of ways, are like cement. When you first pour cement, it's new. It's easy to mix and manipulate and change. But as time goes on, that cement gets harder and harder and harder. So much so that if you want to change hardened cement, it's almost as if you have to break it all together. People in advertising know this idea that the people who are older in age often have a difficult time changing. You see, advertisers, before they advertise a product on someone's television show, wants to know what the ratings are. They want to know how many people watch them. And the more people that watch them, a particular show, the more they're willing to pay in order to have their product advertised. We all know that advertising is most expensive during the Super Bowl because that is when the most people are watching television. But it's not just people they want to know, how many people they want to know are watching a particular show. They want to know how many people in a specific demographic are watching a particular show. Specifically, they want to know how many people between 18 and 49 are watching the show. That's known as the coveted category in advertising, the 18 to 49 crowd. That if you get a lot of 18 to 49-year-olds to watch your show, a lot of people want to advertise it. And the reason being is because people who are younger than 18 might be impacted by advertising, but usually don't have any money to spend on expensive products. And people who are over 49, while they do have a lot of money to spend on expensive products, they are kind of set in which products they like or don't like. If you're a person who is over 49 years of age, you probably know what I mean. More than likely, you use the same kind of toothpaste that you've used for years. You like that toothpaste, you know it works, you know it tastes okay, so you stick with it. Many people will drive the same make of car for decades because they know that that type of car is reliable. That's the type of car that they like and they're willing to buy over and over again. See, when we reach a certain age or a certain stage in life, we don't like change. We like stability. We like familiarity. We like for things to be the same, and that gives us a sense of peace and security. But as much as we like things to stay the same, as much as we like things to be stable and not change, whether with it's the products we buy or it's with our lives, we all know that life does change, that things don't stay the same, and that can be stressful and often scary. And so if we can't count on our lives to stay the same, if we can't count on our products to stay the same, what can we count on to not change? In our gospel reading today, we encounter the disciples who are being prepared by Jesus to undergo a great deal of change. You see, they have followed Jesus for years now. They've listened to his every word. They've watched him perform all kinds of miracles. And now Jesus stands at the eve of changing the entire world. But they're filled with wondering, with questioning of what this actually means, what Jesus is going to do and what's going to happen to them. But the truth is, Jesus doesn't give them a lot of answers. He doesn't give them a lot of specifics in this passage about this will happen, and then this will happen, and then this will happen. Instead, he engages in a behavior, an activity that might seem very unusual to us. Jesus washes one of his disciples, Peter's, feet. Now, foot washing isn't something that you or I do, but foot washing is something that was done quite often in Jesus' day. You see, in Jesus' day, many people could not afford to wear shoes. And if they did wear shoes, they were often these sort of flimsy sandals. And Jesus' disciples were constantly walking around in the desert, and so their feet were often scarred and dirty. And so many homes, before you enter them, would have foot washing stations. You see, they didn't ask you to take off your shoes because your feet were often as dirty as your shoes. And so your feet would get washed before you would enter the home. And if a person was wealthy enough, they would have a servant wash other people's feet. Now, in Jesus' day, if you could look at a person's feet, you could tell where they had been and what they had done, and probably where they were going. A person's feet told a very personal story. Now, Jesus, we know, is the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior of the earth. And so you would expect at first glance that maybe Jesus would want his own feet washed. I mean, after all, it is the last night of his life. Maybe he wants to relax, rest up, store up some energy before going to the cross. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he washes Simon Peter's feet. And Peter is taken aback by this at first. He refuses to do this because Jesus isn't his servant. He is Jesus' servant. But Jesus says to him, unless I wash you, you can have no part of me. Peter immediately gets the message and says, okay, not just my feet then, wash my whole body, because I want to be a part of whatever it is that you're doing. And Jesus says, your feet are fine for now. And then Jesus gives a speech. He says that in his absence, that the thing he wants us and the disciples to remember is that he loves us and to love one another. You see, Jesus constantly spent his life and his ministry as the Messiah, the Son of God, not lifting himself up, but lifting others up through acts of sacrifice and love. Jesus is constantly giving his time and his energy to other people. He's performing miracles of healing that don't benefit himself, but benefit others. And then Jesus washes feet, which is a preview of the greatest sacrifice that any person has ever made. The sacrifice that he makes on the cross. Jesus wants us to remember that God is a God who loves us and sacrifices for us. And that God is a God who wants us to love other people. I mentioned before that we often don't like change, and as much as we don't like it, change still happens. Change still shows up. But there are two things that we always can count on, two things that we can always rely on no matter what. And these things can give us a sense of stability in a sometimes very unstable world. The love of God and the ability to love one another. God demonstrates his love for us in this scripture reading today by washing his disciples' feet. And he demonstrates his love for us by going to the cross on Good Friday. That will never change. That attitude and desire of God's love for us, whether we have a good day or a bad day, where our day is very predictable or our life is very unpredictable, that never changes. The work on the cross is done, now and for all eternity. But we also have the ability to love one another. See, love is not something you need to be wealthy for to practice. It's not something that you even need to be in a great mood to practice. It's not something that you need to be healthy or strong or popular to practice. Love is always available to us. Love is about an action or an attitude to show care and concern for other people. And we've all seen people of all ages and all backgrounds show care and concern for someone else. It doesn't matter if you are 2 years old or 100 years old. People can demonstrate their love for one another. You see, our lives do not need to be focused simply on our own problems or our own hardships, but our lives can be focused on other people. Sometimes when we're having a really bad day, sometimes when we're having a really bad season in our life, the best way to move forward is not to fix our own problems, but to help someone else fix their problem. Because at the very least, it gets our attention and our focus off ourselves and puts it on another person. This is why charity is so important. This is why service is so important, because it helps us remember that we and our problems are not the end all and be all of the universe. That as real and as great as our problems sometimes might be, we can be of service to others even when our own lives are not ideal. And so may you remember in this chaotic and sometimes unpredictable world that you can always predict that God's love is real and God's love is true for you. And may you spend your life realizing that the greatest thing you can do for someone else is to simply love them, be kind to them, and help them in big and small ways. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you for this reminder and this example of Jesus Christ, that a life worthwhile is not a life focused on ourselves, but focused on the love of God. The love that God has for us each and every day, and the love that God asks for us to share with others. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.